Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Hope you call in and ask your Bible question or comment. As the announcer said, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. Every now and then we talk about the necessity of baptism to salvation on this program. I have a public debate coming up in Birmingham, Alabama, later this week on Thursday and Friday night. And you can listen to that debate, watch it, actually, live streaming. And let me tell you how to figure out what the live stream links are. Just go to BibleCrossfire.com, the website for this program, and at the very top it says, ask a question, ask me a question. Click on that and it'll send an email to me and you can ask me, what are the links for the debate coming up later this week in Birmingham, Alabama, on do you have to be baptized to be saved? If you don't even put anything in the message, you just ask me a question, just send it to me, and I'll gather that you're wanting the links for the debate coming up later this week where you can watch the debate live. If you're in the near Birmingham, within an hour or so of Birmingham, drive down there. This thing that I'm going to send you also show you the address and the times and the propositions and everything. A debate this Thursday and Friday night on do you have to be baptized to be saved in Birmingham, Alabama. Maybe you can attend in person, or maybe you're too far away, would like to attend over the internet. Go to BibleCrossfire.com. At the very top it says, ask me a question. Click on that and send me an email and ask me, and I'll send you the flyer that'll tell you all the information you need to know. Let's talk about that issue while we're waiting on our first call, though. Does a sinner have to be baptized to be saved? The evidence from the Bible that he does is overwhelming. There are a lot of passages in the New Testament that talk about water baptism. Not all of them tell you the purpose of water baptism, but every single one that tells you the purpose of baptism, every single text that tells you the purpose of water baptism says you have to do it to be forgiven of your sins, to be saved from your sins. For example, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. You see, what do you have to do to be saved according to Jesus? Now, this is our Lord and Savior, the one that is the author of our salvation, Hebrews 5:9. He says you got to believe and be baptized to be saved. Let me give you an illustrative sentence. He that swallows and digests his food shall live, but he that doesn't swallow shall die. Now, if I say that, you would understand that both swallowing and digesting are absolutely necessary to live. The parallel sentence is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. Why can't you understand that in one sentence, you got to swallow and digest your food to live, but in this sentence, you don't have to believe and be baptized to be saved? Why? They're exactly the same. He's teaching you got to believe and be baptized to be saved. That's what Jesus said, and he means what he says. Now, the Catholic position on this is he that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved. That's infant baptism. My opponent for Thursday and Friday night will be saying he that believeth and is baptized not shall be saved. What Jesus said is he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who are you going to believe? Let's look at another passage. Acts 22:16. Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Here we have examples of the word and connecting and showing dependence. You have an everyday example. Cut my yard and receive your $5 pay. Meaning if you cut my lawn, you'll receive your $5. How about James 4:7? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll flee from you if you resist the devil. That's the sense of that. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You got to ask for it to be given to you. You got to seek and you shall find. You got to knock before it'll be opened to you. So why not the same thing when he says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins? The washing away of sins is contingent upon the baptism. And then the expression calling on the name of the Lord is an appositional phrase used to describe what Paul would be doing when he was baptized. Like, come to the podium and receive $1,000, taking me up on my offer. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You got to be baptized to wash away your sins. Acts 22:16 shows three things happened at the same time: baptism, washing away the sins, and calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16 proves Paul's sins were not forgiven at the point of his faith on the road to Damascus. Instead, he was forgiven at the time of his baptism, according to Acts 22:16. We're all agreed it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. But when? Well, when did it happen for Saul? When he believed on the road to Damascus, or at least 3 days later when he was baptized? Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, proves that his sins were washed away by the blood of Christ when he was baptized. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible subject, call me at 877-655-6755. If you're interested in attending the debate later this week on do you have to be baptized to be saved, either in person, if you live near Birmingham, Alabama, or if you live too far away, you can do it through live streaming. Go to BibleCrossfire.com. At the very top, it says ask a question to Pat. Click on that. It'll send me an email if you follow through on that, and I'll send you the flyer so you'll know about the how to get to this debate if you live within driving distance of Birmingham, or the live streaming links. Here's Acts 2:38. Peter's told these believers in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, according to that, you got to be baptized to receive the remission of sins. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the Bible says. Let me read some other translations here. The American Standard says, repent ye and be baptized unto the remission of your sins. Sounds like you got to be baptized to get the remission of sins, doesn't it? The Modern English Version, change your mind and be baptized for a release of your sins. Goodspeed's, you must repent and every one of you be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. The Spanish translation, repent and be ye all baptized for the purpose of the remission of your sins. Magnite's translation, reform and be each of you immersed in order to the remission of sins. Phillips' translation, repent and every one of you must be baptized so that you may have your sins forgiven. Short Bible College translation, be baptized for in order to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38 is making it clear, audience. Baptism is for the remission of sins. That's what it says. And that's precisely what I'm going to be making my case for this Thursday and Friday night in the debate at Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to be proving beyond any shadow of a doubt from God's word, and he's the one that decides this, that a person has to be baptized in order to be saved. All of these passages clearly teach it, including Galatians 3:26-27. It says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So no doubt we become children of God by faith. But verse 27, the word for, beginning the verse 27, the little word for, F-O-R, means to introduce the reason. So the reason we're children of God by faith is because we have been baptized into Christ. The way a sinner becomes a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. In other words, you cannot become a child of God without being baptized. Here's an illustrative sentence, a parallel, or it'd be my summary of Numbers 21:4-9. Here it is, and it's supposed to be parallel to Galatians 3:26-27. For ye Israelites are physically alive by faith in God and his healing power. For as many of you as have looked on the bronze serpent have been healed by God. You see, they were healed by faith in God, but they had to look upon the bronze serpent to be healed by faith. You see that? Notice Galatians 3:27 also says we are baptized into or union with Christ. See, we see then that saving faith then is completed in baptism. You become a child of God by faith, Galatians 3:26, by being baptized into Christ, verse 27. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you want information about the public debate, well, do you have to be baptized to be saved? Later this week, Thursday and Friday night in Birmingham, Alabama, you go to BibleCrossfire.com. At the top, it says ask a question. Click on that and you'll be able to send me an email. I'll send you the flyer for the debate, which tells you the address, the times, the proposition, and the live links, the live streaming links, if you're too far away from Birmingham to be there in person. Now here's 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Who were disobedient when the patience of God waited in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism doth now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the physical salvation of 8 souls, verse 20, through the waters of the flood, prefigures our spiritual salvation at water baptism. That's what's going on here. This type and antitype have 2 things in common. First, both involve water. In verse 20, you have the waters of the flood. Verse 21, water baptism. Both involve a salvation. In verse 20, it's physical salvation. The physical salvation of Noah and his family through the waters of the flood. Verse 21, the second salvation is spiritual. We'll get back to that in just a minute, but let's try to take this call. Sean from Spokane, Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Does baptism count like when you, if you get baptized as a young child like the Catholics do, or do you have to baptize yourself?
No, you know, in Acts chapter 8, 35 through 37, Sean, Philip is preaching to the eunuch. Verse 35 says Philip is preaching Jesus to the eunuch. Something about preaching Jesus included baptism, because the eunuch said in Acts 8, verse 36, what doth hinder me to be baptized? In other words, what's keeping me from being baptized? And here I'm quoting Sean from verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, he's saying, if you believe, you may be baptized, which implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. So I think that's pretty clear, Sean. Infant baptism is unscriptural. He says, if you believe, you may be baptized. So an infant can't believe. He's not qualified to be baptized, Sean. So a person that's baptized when they're infant needs to get baptized as a believer. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Needs to get baptized as a penitent believer. Acts 2, verse 38. For the remission of sins. Acts 2, 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Sean, so that he can be saved from his sins. The answer to your question, the baptism as a young child or infant doesn't do a person any good, because he didn't choose to be a believer first, and that's he's got to. You got any follow-up, Sean?
Okay, that sounds good. What about, you said that the baptism can wash away the sins. I thought only the blood of Christ could wash away the sin.
So, you know, Jesus died, and we'll call it 33 A.D. We're not sure about the year, but let's say 33 A.D., were my sins forgiven in 33 A.D., even before I was ever born, Sean?
Yes, sir.
No. When were my sins forgiven? My sins were, Jesus paid for my sins when he died on the cross. But I wasn't forgiven until I believed and was baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 22.
Well, you weren't forgiven until you repented.
That's right. Exactly. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16 says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So the blood of Christ, Sean, you're right, washes away our sins. The question is when? Well, with Saul of Tarsus, were his sins washed away when he believed on the road to Damascus, or 3 days later when he was baptized? Which one, Sean?
3 days later.
Yeah. Ananias told him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So 3 days later when he was baptized. Sean, you're right. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Revelation 1, verse 5. The question is not what or who washes away our sins. That's Christ in his death. The question is when. Does it happen the moment a person believes? No, it happens when he believes and is baptized, according to Mark 16:16. Does that make sense, Sean?
Yes, sir.
Sean, appreciate you calling. Anything else?
That's it, sir. Have a good day.
You have a good day. So we were looking at 1 Peter 3:21, which says baptism now saves you. This is not saying that baptism procures or earns our salvation. Not saying that at all. It's saying that baptism is a condition we must meet in order to receive the salvation provided for by the death of Christ. Just like when Jesus said in Luke 17:19 to the leper, thy faith hath made thee whole. He wasn't saying his faith is what healed him. No, Jesus healed him. What he's saying is the faith was the condition he had to meet in order to be healed by Jesus Christ. The verse says, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. And that's what I'll be affirming in the debate this Thursday and Friday night in Birmingham, Alabama. Do you think you might want to come, be there live? Or if you're too far away, would you like to watch live streaming? Go to BibleCrossfire.com at the very top. It'll say, ask a question. Click on that, and it'll allow you then to send me an email to ask me. Send me the flyer for the debate so I can know the details, the address, the times, the propositions, or if it's too far away for me to drive, the live streaming links. I want you to get it to where you can go to this debate or watch this debate live streaming so you can hear both sides of this question. I'll be trying to prove that a person has to be baptized to be saved. My friend, Traver Gingrich, will be trying to deny that and saying you don't have to be baptized to be saved. He'll be contending for what he believes, that you're saved by faith alone, that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. I believe he's wrong, and I'm going to be trying to prove that he's wrong. But he'll be there contending for his position. You come to this debate, it'll be unlike anything you've ever been to because you're going to get to hear both sides of the religious question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? If you have a Bible question or comment right now, call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. John 3:5, Jesus said this, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I believe this born of water here is talking about water baptism because water baptism is the only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. And this says you got to be born of water into to enter into the kingdom of God. You got to do that to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us. We've already read that. That should clue us into what John 3:5 is talking about. And then Romans 6 verse 4 says, buried with him by baptism, that we also should walk in newness of life. That verse pinpoints exactly when the new birth occurs. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we begin our walk in newness of life, our new birth. So John 3:5 is talking about water baptism, and it says you got to do it to enter into the kingdom of God to be saved. Shouldn't be any question about it. All of these passages teach you got to be baptized to be saved. How about Colossians 2:11 through 13? Here's how that reads. In whom also you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now notice, verse 11 talks about putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Verse 13 says, having forgiven you all trespasses. So both verse 11 and verse 13 talks about the forgiveness of sins. Right smack dab in the middle of that, verse 12 says we're buried with him in baptism. So verse 11 is talking about the forgiveness of sins. Verse 13 is talking about the forgiveness of sins. Verse 12 then is obviously telling us when the forgiveness of sins takes place, when we're buried with him in baptism. So Colossians 2, 11 through 13 tells us twice that our sins are forgiven when we're baptized. If you want to attend in person the debate on do you have to be baptized to be saved this Thursday and Friday night in Birmingham, or you want to attend via live streaming, go to BibleCrossfire.com. At the top, it says ask a question, and it'll allow you to send me a question. I'll send you the flyer for that debate so you get all the information that you need. How about Romans chapter 6, verse 3? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. So we're baptized into Christ, meaning we're baptized into union with Christ. Or you might say we're baptized into fellowship with Christ. Or you might say we're baptized into a saved relationship with Christ. All of those things would be the correct way of putting it. We're baptized into Christ, into fellowship, into a saved relationship with Christ, into union with Christ. That's exactly what I'm affirming. If you're not been baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not in the saved relationship with Christ. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call again, if you have a Bible question or comment, is 877-655-6755. Here's a quote from Albert Barnes, a famous commentary. He says, in talking about why a particular passage might mean a particular thing, he says, because it seems to be the most obvious, it is that which will strike plain men as being the natural meaning, men who have not a theory to support, who understand language in its usual sense. That's what we need to do. Why can't we just take the Bible in its plain and natural meaning? Now, let's look at these verses again, kind of a review of some of these we looked at. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What is the plain and natural meaning of that? That you got to be baptized to be saved, or that you don't? How about Acts 2:38, where Peter told believers, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? What's the plain and natural meaning of that? That you got to be baptized to get the forgiveness of your sins, or that you don't? It's obvious, isn't it? How about when Saul told Ananias in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins? Sure sounds like your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ when you're baptized. You got to be baptized to get your sins washed away, according to Acts 22:16. That's the plain and natural meaning of that passage. How about Galatians 3:26-27? You're all children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What's the plain and natural meaning of that text? That you're a child of God by faith, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For means to introduce the reason. The reason, the way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. And then 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. That's pretty clear. There's no way God would say baptism saves us if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. It would be totally confusing. Each of the above text and others irrefutably prove baptism is necessary to salvation. What do we have to gain by rejecting their obvious meaning? Why would God say baptism is necessary to salvation so many times if he didn't really mean it? Wouldn't that be totally confusing? John from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I was just curious if I baptized my daughter after living only 22 hours, if that was baptism or not in your view.
So we were talking about Acts 8 a while ago, John. I don't suppose you heard me talking about Acts 8:35-37 about 10 minutes ago, did you?
That was actually just when I was dialing in, but it was enough to provoke me, I guess, to call.
So here's Acts 8:35. In Acts 8:35, Philip is preaching Jesus to the eunuch, is what it says. Preaching Jesus. Something about preaching Jesus included baptism, because the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, John, notice Philip's response to this. The eunuch wants to be baptized, and here's what Philip said. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Mayest what, John? Mayest be baptized, right, John?
Yeah, right.
So if God says if you believe, you may be baptized, that implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. Am I right?
Yeah.
So that's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 8 is saying you cannot be baptized scripturally until you believe first. So infants are not qualified to be baptized. John, they don't need to be baptized. They don't have any sin to be washed away anyway. Why do you need to baptize them? They don't have any sin. So yes, baptism is only valid if it's an immersion of a believer. Does that make sense, John? You see that from Acts 8:35-37?
I guess I just kind of struggle with that a little bit, in that, you know, we live in a world of a fallen creation, which is nothing but sin, and my daughter died from basically the downfall of humanity, right? I mean, at the end of the day, she had a disease that she couldn't last longer than a day in, and
John, I got to go off the air. My time is up. Thank you for your call. I got to go off the air. Anybody wants to know about the debate coming up later this week, go to BibleCrossfire.com. At the top, ask me a question. I'll send you the flyer. If you'd like a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, call or text me, 256-682-9753. Call or text me about the debate.